know anything about college football? Consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanica every morning.
Stuberg with us on Thursday, 24/7 Sports. And Berg, how many transfers has Coach Norvell taken in?
Oh, man, I think we're at nine.
Feels like more.
Yeah, maybe 10. Maybe I lost count. I don't know, Bill. I think we're at 9 or 10.
And what position have they stocked the most?
Wide receiver. They have four. Yeah. But they're not done. I think they have one offensive tackle. They need one more. I think they take maybe one more rush end. Maybe a QB after spring. Wouldn't rule that out. I think they need a running back. I think they're not done.
By the way, yet. Noah Cain, Penn State. I don't know where he's going. He just entered the portal. Pretty good running back.
Yeah, I know
there.
LSU and Texas were kind of runners up for him, so.
Yeah.
I know FSU reached out. We have confirmed that, but I don't know if there's traction there yet.
To Noah Cain.
Yeah.
Right. And now Vanderbilt about a week ago had a offensive tackle hit the portal. Anything going on there? Florida State and Vandy?
No, I checked on that. I don't think so, not at least yet. But he is a start. He started, right? He's their starter. So
yeah.
There could be something, but not yet. I haven't heard.
And the Not that this is new news, but the Albany State defensive end, Florida State got him, and you kind of predicted that, but that's big.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big get. Jared Verse came down to Florida State, Tennessee, Miami. He visited some schools, Syracuse, Iowa State, but after his visits, it went dead, period, and then he picked up offers from USC, Oklahoma, Florida. There was like six others, and they ended up not really factoring into his recruitment. Committed to Florida State. It was a good get because he was far and away the top defensive end in the portal at the time. Not to say that there won't be a better one that enters maybe down the road, but at least at the time he was. And, you know, with Florida State losing guys like Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, getting a bona fide pass rusher, and, you know, he comes from Albany, so it's not exactly not everything's guaranteed with him, but they do like him a lot. He flashed on film against Syracuse. That's where they saw him first. So, you know, they saw him playing against Syracuse at the Power 5 level. He got a ton of interest when he hit the portal. He was in the portal for over a month. So it was a long recruitment, but Florida State landed him on, I think it was Friday night, last Friday.
Dust Newberg, 24/7 Sports, checks in with us Thursday mornings. What is going on in the state of Florida right now? Anybody making much noise?
Yeah, no. Right now, I think, you know, you're seeing the hiring of the staffs, but this week, the dead period ends on Friday. Coaches are going to be back out on the road. Official visits for 2022 prospects will start back up, but mainly we're going to see a lot of 2023 visits, I think, in the coming weekends at Miami and Gainesville and Tallahassee. I think all three schools will host at least some form. I don't know if it's a full-blown junior day where you get like 75 prospects there, but I think you'll see visits across the state all weekend.
When did the recruiting begin where staffs would really target sophomores and maybe even start looking at freshmen and not just used to be forever, Berg, where they just targeted the senior class, monitored the juniors, but really not a lot. When did it become more encompassing?
Oh, I remember talking to Jimbo about it in like 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
About recruiting year-round two classes, damn near. And really, he was even talking when you were recruiting the 2011 class. You know, you had to factor in what was also on the board in 2012 because at the time, you know, you don't want to take too many, and you knew what was coming. So, yeah, this has been going on for a long time. And now, right now, where we're at, 2022 is just about done. 2023 has been recruited for, the whole board has been recruited for a year now. And 2024 players have already been identified. Numerous offers have already gone out. So, you know, they're working like 2 years in advance. And this isn't just at FSU. This is everywhere.
Correct. And so at least 10 years this has been happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the calendar changed.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and I know, Berg, you got in about, what, 15 years ago into this?
Yeah, 2015.
Oh, 2015 you got into. So you've been in about...
I'm sorry, 2005.
2005.
No, I've been doing your show for
I know. But
2005 is
about 15 years plus. This, yeah. You've been in it forever, Berg. You just really looked at the seniors, the next senior class. And
right.
I mean, that went on for decades, but that's not the calendar anymore.
No. It used to be like you're talking about, you'd introduce the next year's class and signing day or, you know, the weeks after. But we've known the next year's class and who the studs are for over a year now. Like we've identified, you know, not me, but the industry, the fans, whatever, coaches have identified these guys so early now. You get to know them. That's why it's hard. I talk about, you know, covering the transfer portal and covering these decisions, and people don't realize these transfer prospects, we've been covering them for a week, 2 weeks, sometimes when they're ready to make their decision. And recruits, we've been covering them for like 2.5 years by the time they're ready to make their decision. So you kind of get a better read on a recruit that you've been knowing for that long than compared to covering these transfer guys.
Georgia Dog on the Emerald Coast. Bill asked Josh, he said he heard a top-tier coach say that he met with some of his players and he encouraged them to enter the portal. His question is, do you think that's going on too, where it's not just the players making decisions, but they're being encouraged by their head coach that maybe it's best to move on?
Not as much, not as often, but if needed, you can push some guys into the portal. How do you do that? You just be honest with them. You can tell them that, hey, you're not playing here. I think if you are into that and you do want to play, then you should probably explore your options. I think in this day and age, that's not something crazy to tell somebody. I think they get it. The other thing you can do is, you know, you can tell a player, hey, you know, you've had multiple injuries here. This is your fourth year. We're going to medical DQ you after the season. You know, if you want to go in the transfer portal, that's fine, but we're going to medical DQ you. So there's ways besides just saying, hey, you're fired, get out of here. It doesn't always have to be like that.
And the freebie transfer is new, so we're just now, you know, getting data. Here's what I want to know at some point here in the future. How many players that enter the portal, and we've got over 1,000 in this cycle, that enter the portal, Berg, and then that's it. They never play another down.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a certain percentage of players that enter the portal because they – aren't playing at a Power 5 university and end up never playing football again because they you know, misplayed their hand, or they end up going to JUCO, or they end up going somewhere where they didn't expect to be. So, yeah, that's also kind of the free market of the portal. Nothing's guaranteed.
We discussed the recognizable names that are obviously all going to find homes. But, again, I want to know what percentage. And I don't know if it's 20, 30. I have no idea. But what percent of these guys just disappear forever?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a smaller percentage. I think it's small. But I don't think that that's their intent. Like, I don't think they're entering the portal thinking, like, I'm never going to play. And they're probably just not happy with their situation and thinking, like, well, anything's going to be better than this. And then they end up with nothing.
They enter the portal, and then that phone never rings.
Right. I think that happens for a certain percentage. And well, I don't know, maybe someday somebody will put that out there.
Yeah, I think who tweeted this the other day? Something along, I think it was Shannon Terry tweeted something like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
The other day.
I didn't see it, but yeah, I think there is that's occurring for sure.
Josh Duberg with us every Thursday with the Florida State site, 24/7 sports. Now, you said you think they may even take in a quarterback perhaps sometime around the spring.
Yeah, I think they'll do that after spring. I think that they'll go for a – because for, I say that because Florida State's spring semester has already begun.
Right.
So I think probably spring, post-spring, when guys put their name in the portal because they saw the writing on the wall with depth charts and whatnot, I think they get like a grad transfer type, somebody to come in 1 year and mainly serve as a backup to Jordan Travis. I don't think anybody, especially after spring football, I don't think anybody's coming in to replace Jordan Travis without spring reps. So if they do take a transfer quarterback after spring, I expect it to be of the backup variety. But I do think that they're looking for one, because otherwise you have most likely it's going to be true freshman A.J. Duffy behind him.
What did you take out of the Monday night national championship game?
The game's on too late because I fell asleep at halftime. And it's just too long. I tried, Bill. I really tried. But like the last 4 minutes of game time in the second quarter just were so boring. But I made it through that. I just couldn't make it through halftime. Fell asleep on the couch.
It is too late. And why on a Monday? Now, they've been doing it on Monday nights for a long time.
I understand why it's on a Monday. I mean, that much I understand. Business is business. Right. But to have it that late, like, it's already bad because Monday doesn't feel like college day. But I understand it. But to have it at like after 8 p.m. start is wild, knowing it's going to be a 4.5-hour game because it's national TV and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be a game that goes on forever. And no, I made it all the way through. It wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing thing I've ever seen.
Well, you're on Central Time, too. So
that's true.
It's a little bit easier for you.
Game started my time about 7:15.
Yeah, I would have made it to probably like the third or fourth quarter if I was in your territory.
Central Time. Josh Newberg with us. All right, tell Berg everybody how they can get your content and also the podcast.
Man, right now I'm doing a podcast with Dylan Gibbons. It dropped this morning on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. It's called Big Man, Big Heart. But I am also doing a show every day on Twitter Spaces at noon. Clock in, lock in, and be there.
And is it just anything, or is it college football, or is it the Devil's
it's
Lettuce?
Mainly, it's a Florida State space, but we can talk whatever people want. It's kind of like modern-day talk radio. We just have a bunch of people in there. And it's one at a time. Talk comes on and talks, asks me a question, gets their take off, whatever. Kind of sounds like talk radio, but just on Twitter.
And which stocks are you holding right now?
Well, all of them, because they're all red. I'm not selling them. Nothing's fun right now, Bill.
I had some SPY call options the other day that I sold at about 120%. They went up about 400. I had some Alibaba the other day, some calls that did well.
Yeah, it's rough right now.
It's kind of choppy. The chop
it's
is
real
tough.
Choppy. Yeah. It's like I'll go real red one day, back green the next, red, you know, it's like, yeah, it's real choppy.
Now, Tesla's trying to run.
Yeah, I'm holding that long. I mean, I got stock in that. So, that's doing well. I'm not really worried about Tesla. That's going to be okay.
Berg, we'll see you next week, sir.
See you, Bill.